Hello, I'm Sky Matsuhashi, founder of SmartPokerStudy.com, the place for poker players who are always striving to be better today than they were yesterday. Poker people, in episode 62, I interviewed James Splitsuit Sweeney, and we discussed poker coaching, player leaks, and his hand-reading course called The Hand-Reading Lab. Hey, poker people, thanks for downloading, thanks for telling your friends, and thanks for sharing the show, because that's how we grow. I don't know if I've ever discussed my Saturday cheat days with you before, but during the week, I'm pretty darn strict about what I eat. I keep sugars to a minimum, very little dairy, and almost zero carbs. Basically, it's a lot of protein and veggies. But on Saturdays, those are always my cheat days. I go hog wild with ice cream, chocolate, pizza, donuts, whatever I want, really. And by the end of it, I'm totally freaking sick of it all. But this past Friday, my youngest son says to me, he says, "Dad, tomorrow's your cheat day. Pizza. Oh, yeah." And then my oldest says, "Well, let's do chili cheese dogs instead." You know, because, of course, he loves wiener schnitzel just like I do. I thought about it, and I said, "What if we make a chili cheese dog pizza?" And wow, that was a terrific idea. We went to the store, got the crust, Hormel chili, beanless chili, of course, some dogs, and we made a pizza just like that, and it was friggin' marvelous. But I have to say that it tasted just like having chili cheese dogs themselves, but, you know, it was worth it, making it with my boys, eating it together. That was a super fun time. So if it sounds good to you, I totally recommend the chili cheese dog pizza. And of course, the Smart Poker Study podcast is now on Patreon. It's a way for you to support me and this podcast, to earn some cool rewards, and to help me attain monthly goals, which would mean more poker podcasting goodness for you. Please visit my page at www.patreon.com/smartpokerstudy to support me or to find out more. And this past week, a radical poker person named Pere supported me on Patreon. Thanks, Pere. I enjoyed our previous Skype discussion, and I trust your poker is still kicking that ass. And the Colossus 2, baby! It's coming soon to the World Series of Poker, and I will be playing in it. And only for listeners, I'm offering you... That's right, you part of my action. Yep, I'm giving away 4% of any winnings from the Colossus. Now, here's how it's going to work. I will randomly select one Smart Poker Study newsletter subscriber who will free roll for 1% of my winnings. I'll also randomly select a Patreon supporter of $1 to $15 per month for 1% of my winnings, and I'll randomly select a Patreon supporter of $20 or more for 2% of my winnings. You have to be signed up for the newsletter or be a supporter, a Patreon supporter, before May 31st. I will announce the free roll winners in the Friday, June 3rd podcast and in the Facebook discussion group on that day. My day one flight is on Saturday the 4th, so wish me luck. All winners will be chosen totally randomly using a random number generator. So get in on the action, sign up for the newsletter, and support me on Patreon for your chance to free roll my Colossus 2 winnings. Alrighty, so there's going to be a lot to discuss today, but before I get to the hand-reading lab and learning from showdowns, let me get into the importance of missions and the challenge in every podcast. So, unless you're new to the podcast, in every Tuesday strategy episode, I put a podcast mission at the beginning, and I issue a challenge at the end. Together, the mission and the challenge are geared towards intentional improvement of your game. We are so bombarded nowadays by poker strategy and poker content, you know, via podcasts, articles, tweets, Facebook and forum threads, videos and cable or streaming shows, or even study sessions with our poker friends, you know. It's totally overwhelming, and it's very easy to learn something, but never master it because we never really put it to use in our games. So, the podcast mission is in place because it outlines exactly what I want to teach you in the podcast. Once you know the intent of the podcast, you can start to formulate your own expectations and ideas of what I'm about to discuss. This is a critical step in the learning process. Pre-thought on what you're about to learn. This early engagement by your brain will lead you to pay closer attention as I discuss the strategy, and you'll compare your thoughts to what I'm saying. And to aid in this early brain engagement in the materials, I'm going to start by adding one or more questions to each mission. You'll see what I mean when I get to today's mission. But after each question, take a moment to pause the podcast and answer it for yourself. I guarantee you'll get more out of the podcast topic if you start to think about it ahead of time instead of just waiting for me to shove the information in your ears. And as for the challenge at the end of the podcast, when you actively take steps to improving your game, you're being an active participant in the media that you're consuming. It's super easy to just robotically and non-critically consume poker content. In one ear and out the other is commonplace when it comes to poker learning. Your goal shouldn't be to just learn by listening to the podcast, but it should be to learn by experiencing for yourself the lessons I'm trying to impart. Take the skills you're learning about and try to ingrain them into your poker skill set. Every challenge I offer is related to what I discussed in the episode, so it's putting to use what you learned. And if my challenge doesn't work for you, that's just fine. Just take something else I discussed and put that to the test. Your goal should be put to use one piece of poker strategy for every piece of poker content you consume. If you do this, you'll be actively improving your game as the weeks, months, and years go by, and you'll be far ahead of your competition who's letting things go in one ear and out the other. Of course, everything I do in this podcast is geared towards mastery versus overload. So with this idea in mind, for every Tuesday podcast, I'll begin doing more to promote each challenge within the Facebook discussion group. I'll post the challenge there, and for 1 week, we can all discuss what we learned from the challenge, ideas on how we each go about accomplishing the challenge, and what worked for each of us. I'll post some of the things I learned from doing the challenge for myself as well. So the poker missions and the challenges will only be a part of the Tuesday strategy podcasts moving forward. The Friday podcast will remain strictly Q&As. Of course, nothing is stopping you from taking the reins and challenging yourself to something learned from the Friday episodes. I just feel that one challenge from me per week is enough to get you, you know, actively working on your game. Too many challenges are overloading, and like I said before, I'm trying to avoid that. I want you to commit to doing one thing weekly to take you and your game to the next level. Alrighty, on to today's hand reading and showdown talk. This is the first of 8 podcasts, all dedicated to strategy topics that Splitsuit puts forth in his incredible course called The Hand Reading Lab. These podcasts will be a lot like the 10-episode series I did on Ed Miller's book called The Course, which you can listen to starting with episode 22 if you want to go back and download those. Those are still available in iTunes or on the website. The reason for this series on The Hand Reading Lab is to expose you to the importance of hand reading and to give you insights into how you can do it successfully. I will not give away all of Splitsuit's secrets, but I'll teach you enough to begin the hand reading journey on your own, and hopefully you'll see the value in building this skill and you'll buy the Hand Reading Lab for yourself to take your game to the next level and to prepare you for poker dominance for years to come. I've completed the Hand Reading Lab, and it's the best poker course I've ever experienced, and I truly feel it's worth every penny. The Hand Reading Lab contains everything you need to master the skill and art of hand reading. It has 27 videos, powerful guides and exercises, a 2-hour hand reading webinar, a hand reading live tags video from Red Chip Poker, a Flopzilla license, a set of custom Flopzilla ranges to help you hand read opponents and use Flopzilla successfully, plus a special bonus from me. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast to hear the incredible deal that Splitsuit and I are offering all of you who purchase the Hand Reading Lab with my special offer code. So before we discuss hand reading and learning from the showdowns, make sure to hit the show notes for today's episode at smartpokerstudy.com/pod64 for everything I discussed today and to sign up for the weekly newsletter. Now here it is, today's podcast mission. My mission for today is to teach you the importance of hand reading and to discuss the what, the why, and the how of hand reading. And I'll dive into why paying attention to showdowns is vitally important in developing your hand reading skills. Take the time right now to answer these questions for yourself before we get to the meat of today's podcast. Question number 1, what is so important about hand reading? And question number 2, how can showdowns help? So hand reading is the skill of deducing what our opponent has, and we use this info to exploit our opponent. There's a common misconception about hand reading, that it's about putting our opponent on a single hand. That's not the case at all. It's actually about putting him on a range of hands. A range of hands is a set of hands that your opponent could be holding based on his actions up to this point. Your job is to narrow that range as the hand progresses, assess the overall strength of the range in relation to the board, and choose plays that exploit this range. So, hand reading forces you to pay attention to the action. Basic hand reading starts like this. At the preflop stage, you assign a range of hands based on your opponent's actions. So, of course, an open limper will have a much weaker and wider range than a 3-better would preflop. You take this range of hands to the flop, and based on the board and the opponent's actions, you lop off some hands from that range, thereby narrowing it. As a quick example, you raised preflop and the opponent just called. The flop comes ace, king, queen, rainbow, and the opponent checks, then calls your c-bet here. What hands can you remove from his range? Assuming he's not capable of an out-of-position float on such a scary board, I think we can safely remove pocket pairs below nines and all the baby suited connectors and suited gappers as well. Next, we do this on the turn and ultimately the river, removing hands from the range based on the opponent's actions and hopefully making exploitive plays along the way based on our reads. An important aspect of hand reading is that you'll often be incorrect when doing it, but don't let this discourage you. The reason you'll be incorrect a lot is because we start the hand reading process by putting our opponent on a preflop range based on a set of assumptions about our opponent. And we all know about assumptions, right? They make an ass out of you and umptions. So for myself, I know that I've often been surprised by opponents showing up with queen five suited or jack three off when they had no business starting with that hand in the first place. You know, one of the great things about hand reading is that it's a skill you can practice off the table. And the more off the table practice you put in, the better you'll become at it. I found that after completing Split Suits course and doing lots of off the table practice, my mind just naturally goes into hand reading mode, whether I'm involved in a hand or not. I found that I'm much more logical and deliberate in my play because of it. Ultimately, poker is a game of incomplete information. We fill these gaps of information by logically deducing what cards our opponent is most likely to have, and we use that info to exploit them. This is why hand reading is so important. So, how can showdowns help with hand reading? Let's get to that. In the fourth video of the Hand Reading Lab, Splitsuit makes a comment on the importance of showdowns and how his eyes are always glued to the table at every showdown because he uses these to learn as much as possible about his opponent's tendencies. Every showdown is our chance to confirm our pre-flop and street-by-street range assumptions. By showdown, let's say we narrow our opponent's range, maybe down to 10s or better, ace-jack or better, and king-queen. If his showdown hand was ace-queen, then great, we ranged correctly. His final hand fell within the range that we assigned him. But what if he ended up having king-nine offsuit? Remember what I said about hand reading and assumptions. We will often be wrong because of those assumptions. But knowing what our opponent is capable of by seeing exactly what they had at showdown, that will help us in future hands versus this opponent and others like him or her. Now that we've seen king-nine off, we can maybe widen the preflop range that we assign, or maybe allow him to continue with weaker hands versus post-flop action. Gravy! Our hand reading is getting better because we've seen those prior showdowns. We know what this guy's capable of. So there are five areas where showdowns help us get reads on our opponents, and they are: number one, player mentality; number two, actions on each street; number three, sequence of actions; number four, bet sizing; and number five, opponent's understanding of position. So let's get to the first area that showdowns help, and that's player mentality. Showdowns tell us how loose or tight and how passive or aggressive a player is. For example, it's important to know if player A raised on the flop with a gut shot and maybe one overcard, so we know he's capable of semi-bluffing and aggressive play. Or if player B shows up with pocket aces after just calling a 3-bet preflop, we know he likes to slow play and trap his opponents. And if player C just called preflop with king-queen, then called down each street with top pair, we know he's on the more passive side. If he ever wakes up with aggression, we know he has a really strong hand, something better, probably, than top pair. Alrighty, the next area where showdowns help us get a read on an opponent is for the actions on each street. So showdowns allow us to see exactly what the opponent had when they made the play they did on each street. This helps us range the opponent in future hands because we saw what he is capable of doing based on his hand strength at the time. So I saw a hand the other day on Twitter where the preflop raiser, out of position, he checked the flop, check the turn, and check the river with top set, with flopped top set. He raised with aces. The flop came ace XX. I don't remember the other cards. It was ace XX, and he checked. The next street was a blank, another X, and he checked again. The board wasn't scary or dry at all. You know, it wasn't scary enough to require betting to charge any draws. The river came in eight, which completed zero draws, and it was actually a very dry board with no flush draw and no straight draw either. And this guy didn't go straight for value on any street, as many of us would, but he played his top set in such a way that he was willing to give his opponent rope to hang himself, and that's exactly what happened. The opponent rivered a set of eights, so he called in position preflop with eights, and the flop came no eights at all. The river came an eight for him, giving him a set, and he decided to shove five times the pot. I know, that's a crazy overbet for value. And the guy snap called with top set, taking the pocket eight's entire stack. So you can contrast this with a hand that I played the other day. I flopped top set with pocket jacks, but the board was jack 6-5 with two hearts. I didn't have a heart, but I knew my opponent calls every draw on flops and turns. I bet three-quarter pot on both the flop and turn to charge him plenty, and he called both. The river came the five of hearts, completing the flush draw, but also making my full house. I then overbet the river, hoping he hit his flush. He did, so he called, and I took a huge pot from him. So if this opponent is paying attention, he'll see that I played my set, my top set, aggressively on each street and overbet for value on a nutted hand on the river. He should take this info into the next hand he plays with me and keep in mind that my aggression could mean a great hand in the future. Okay, so the next area where showdowns help us get a read on our opponent is by the sequence of actions they take. So a sequence of actions is the combination of plays we make as the hand plays out street by street. Maybe it's check, check, then bet the river, or maybe check, check, raise, and donk lead, or even just bet, 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 like I did in that pocket jacks hand. Let's look at this sequence. Maybe a flop c-bet, check back the turn, then a river bet. Let's say we see the sequence of actions by a player with ace-king at showdown on a 10-7 deuce jack ace board. He made the c-bet on 10-7 deuce with two overcards, which is completely understandable. He's just trying to take it down now, and if called, he still has six outs for the top pair. You know, any ace or king. So now the turn comes the jack, making the board 10-7 deuce jack. So he still got the overs with the ace-king, but he picked up a gut shot draw. He didn't want to be blown off of his equity by maybe facing a check raise after double barreling, so he just decided to check back, which is great. That's just fine of a play, too. Now the river comes the ace. He missed his gut shot, but he hit top pair. Now he decides to bet for value, maybe hoping that he gets a call from a seven or a small pocket pair that doesn't believe he hit the ace, or maybe even just a weaker ace for a weaker top pair, you know? So what can we take away from this? This player c-bets whiffed flops in position, he checks with equity, and didn't barrel the turn, so maybe he is a turn honest player, and he value bet the river with top pair on a not so scary board. Great, so we can take all of this into the next hand we play against him, and maybe check raise an ugly flop, or donk lead a turn cards that likely didn't hit his range, and maybe fold the river when we don't have much of a hand at all. Okay, the fourth area where showdowns help us get a read on our opponent is in relation to bet sizing. Showdowns give us plenty of insight into what bet sizing meant on prior streets. Bet sizing tells can let us know when an opponent is bluffing or going for value. When we see a showdown and look back at the bet sizing used in conjunction with the hand strength at the time, we get a good idea of how to judge future bet sizings. So let's look at the example we just discussed with the opponent with ace king. He bluffs c-bet the flop with two overcards. If he bet just half pot here, but we've seen him make three-quarter pot bets for value before, then this smaller sizing is an indicator of weakness. What about his river bet? Let's say he bet two-thirds pot for value on this rivered top pair, but in the past, we've seen him bluff half pot on a whiffed draw. Once again, his smaller bets equal weakness and bigger bets equal strength. We can take this into account in all future hands versus this opponent. And let me give you another extreme bet sizing example that I see all the time from opponents. The min bet donk bluff. Often, I'll see weak players, weak passive players, make a min bet out of position on the flop, turn, or the river as a complete bluff. When I catch this, I always make a note of it, and in every future hand against them, I'll raise every min bet that they make. For these players, they sometimes get away with these cheap bluffs, so they keep attempting them. I'll make a note, for example, like min bet equals weak, so I exploit this by raising every single time. Sometimes I get caught and they min bet, then re-raise me, but I just reassess at that point and continue on the hand or ditch it based on my read at the time. Alrighty, so the fifth area where showdowns help us get a read on our opponent's tendencies is by understanding how our opponents view position. It's very telling when our opponent calls our c-bet in position, then fires at the turn when we check our top pair weak kicker hand. We call the turn bet, check the river, and they check behind. We showdown top pair and take the pot versus his ace high hand. This opponent likes to use his position and any weakness we show by betting after we check. Great, that's a smart play on his part, so it's good to know our opponent understands position and is capable of in-position floats like this. We can use this against him by check-raising for value when he calls us on a prior street in a future hand. Conversely, there are players who have no understanding of position at all. They play the same range of hands from early position through middle position and into the late position and blinds. These guys can often be super nits or super loose aggressive guys, you know. Just make a note of this so that you can be aware of it to help you in ranging in future hands. Now, when it comes to hand reading, seeing the showdown is key, but also paying attention to the street-by-street action and using the showdown to analyze the action is also very important. Online players have it pretty easy because of the built-in hand replayer that the software has, but live players have to practice this. I can just hear some of you now, I can never remember the preflop action when it finally gets to showdown. Well, your first step is getting away from this kind of negative scripting in your head. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you say crap like that. Don't say to yourself, I can't remember the street-by-street action. Instead, say to yourself with each hand dealt, now it's time for me to practice my street-by-street analysis of my opponents. Using positive affirmations like this will subconsciously work its way into your thoughts, and you'll slowly change your outlook on your abilities. To improve my skills, I used street-by-street narration of the hand like I was Mike Sexton. I would say something like, or in my head, I would say something like, seat 5 opened, button call, seat 5 c-bet 1/2 pot, button raised, and seat 5 reshoved. At showdown, seat 5 had a set of 5s and played it for value the whole way. The button had top 2 on the flop with jack 9 off and thought he was playing for value as well. This kind of narration helps you remember the action. A couple player notes I could make to help with future hand reading in this scenario is seat 5 value bet half pot with flopped set, and another on the other player, I could make a note like button called preflop with jack 8 off. So to sum it up, showdowns are the best way for us to confirm our preflop and street-by-street assumptions of the opponent's range. Pay attention to every showdown and let the showdowns combined with their actions inform the way you view your opponent. Take notes on what your opponents are capable of and use these notes to exploit your opponents as you range them down the streets. Alrighty, before we get to today's challenge, I want to tell you that this week's newsletter exclusive is a hand reading demonstration. I'll be putting our opponent on a range of hands preflop, narrowing that range as the hand progresses, getting to showdown, and using the showdown to help us range this opponent in the future. So make sure you're signed up for the newsletter through the show notes page to see hand reading and learning from showdowns in action. Challenge! Here's my challenge to you for this episode. Pay attention to every showdown you see in your next session and for the rest of the week. Your goal is to learn at least one thing from each showdown about how your opponents play their hands and to take a note each time. The more you practice this, the better you'll get at remembering the street-by-street action and using what you learn to exploit your opponents in future hands. Now it's your turn to take action and do something positive for your poker game.
Now get it on!
I discussed the importance of hand reading in exploiting your opponents. I covered all the things you can learn from showdowns and how you can use them to confirm your reads on opponents and to help you range them in future hands. If you are not already there, head on over to the show notes at smartpokerstudy.com/pod64 for everything mentioned today and to sign up for the weekly newsletter for poker strategy exclusives. And if you're interested in purchasing or learning more about the Hand Reading Lab, visit www.splitsuit.com/HRL and use offer code SMART in lowercase to receive the full course And as a special bonus just for you, Splitsuit is throwing in his popular video series called Playing 3-Bet Pots. And as an additional bonus, I am also offering a hand-reading webinar on Saturday, July 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for all who purchase the hand-reading lab using my offer code SMART. Just send me your purchase confirmation and you'll be enrolled. I know it's a long way off, but it's the weekend following the end of this 8-episode course, so it's a perfect time to demonstrate some hand reading and answer your questions. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening today. I love your feedback, so hit me with it through the show notes, or you can also send an email to sky@smartpokerstudy.com, tweet me @smartpokerstudy, or post in the Facebook group at smartpokerstudy.com/discuss. And please send me your questions, your leaks, or ideas for podcast topics through all the channels just mentioned. Alrighty, poker people, be sure to come back this Friday for another Q&A where I lay down some killer answers to your questions. And next week, in episode 66, I'll continue the hand reading lab series and discuss using percentage form in hand reading. Of course, word of mouth is the best advertising, and I thank you so very much for sharing this show with other poker people. It only grows with your help, so I'm asking you to share it with someone who will get value from it just as you do. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet.